word in the Bible has been carefully chosen by God and placed by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. We're reminded in the Bible that every jot and every tittle, or we would say every comma, every period, every question mark, every mark of punctuation, and as well as every word is placed in the Bible exactly where God wanted it placed. Very delicately and carefully, God has chosen the exact word that He wanted for every case, and there's always a purpose for that word. For example, the Lord did not, without purpose, put husk in the hog pen. That word is there on purpose. For God has a spiritual meaning for us with every word in the Bible. It is not by accident that it was swine that the prodigal son fed. For a young Israelite, noble, delicately nurtured and trained, was taught to have nothing to do with swine. He was humbled to the lowest position imaginable of feeding such a loathsome creature, so unclean that a pig was spoken of by a Jew as the other thing. He would not even use the word swine or the word hog or the word pig. He just said that other thing. That's how abominable the pig was to the Jew. So the truth is that when the prodigal son got to the place of feeding swine and then later feeding with swine, he was arriving at the lowest imaginable place where God or sin could allow a person to arrive. I've said it before, I say it again. The best day you spend in sin will not be as good as the worst day you spend for God. The devil has no pretty backyards. The devil never shines the back of his shoes. The devil never makes a clean back bedroom. 'Tis always the front. 'Tis always the facade. 'Tis always the front yard. The front of the shoes. For the last day, the song says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And conversely so, every day in sin is worse than the day before. The worst day you'll ever spend as a Christian is the first one. And the best day you'll ever spend in sin is the first one. And Jesus, it just keeps getting brighter all the time. In sin, it just keeps getting worse all the time. You know, it's interesting. The Lord chose swine. The prodigal son was living with the swine. And the word swine is typical of the crowd you always run with when you're in sin. One of the worst things about living in sin is the crowd that you have to run with. Oh, I know. Yeah, you say, I know. Yeah, I know a Christian boy. He's worse than some unsaved folks I know. Well, in the first place, the fact that you draw him out as an example means something. And what you're really saying is this. There are a few of our people that like all of yours. You see? The very fact that you like to talk about a Christian who's a hypocrite, and granted, there are some, but you're saying, yeah, I know one or two of yours who are like all of ours. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The best folks in this world are God's people. When people get in trouble and need help, they don't go to the tavern, they go to the church. It says right here in the prodigal son story, it says, no man did help him. Nobody ever helps you in sin. That's why you have to have a government welfare program. You got to make the world help you. You don't have to make Christian folks help you. You see, when the folks get in trouble, need some help, they come to church. The other day, a man in our church, later in our church, her father died suddenly. Now, her husband came and was during the wedding reception for Cindy and Jack. He came rushing down to the fellowship hall and he said, my wife's father just died. We don't have any money to go there. We've got to go to another state, hundreds of miles away. We don't have any money to go there. Well, in less than 3 minutes, he had $300.
Now, he didn't go to the tavern to get that. He wouldn't have gotten it. Say what you want to say about God's people and make your little song and dance. And go ahead and criticize hypocrite. Go ahead and say what you want to say about God's people not being what they ought to be. And we're not, of course, because we're still in the flesh. But let me tell you something today. The greatest people on the face of this earth, I mean morally, I mean as far as integrity is concerned, the greatest people on the face of this earth are those who belong to Jesus Christ. And you let me sign up with them. That's the crowd I want to run with. That's the crowd I enjoy. This is my family. And there is a fraternity in the family of God the world knows nothing about. Why? Because redeemed people have a certain kind of a common bond and bind that makes it a foretaste of heaven. And there he is in the hog pen with the swine, feeding with the swine. But now then, it was not by accident that he was lured to eating husk. Now, we never, where I came from, the swine ate slop. And slop is not as good as husk, though I've never eaten either. And, but the slop. If we had said that the lowest to which the fellow would fall, we'd say he ate the slop which the swine did eat. But this, the husk, was worse. Now why? A husk is an empty thing. It represents the prodigal's venture into sin. A husk looks like food. It is not food. A husk promises food on the inside, but it's not food. A husk will for a while satisfy the appetite, but it offers no nourishment to satisfy the needs of the body. A husk says, there's something inside of me, but the husk has nothing inside of it. There's no corn in the husk that the prodigal did eat, and there's no corn in the husk of the world. So the prodigal son was eating the husk, and that's what the world is. Would God we could all find out. It may look good. The needle may look good, but it's husk. There's no corn in there. The bottle will look good, but it's all husk. There's no corn in there. The bright light of the Hollywood row may look good, but it's all husk. There's no corn in there. Materialism may look good, but it's all husk. There's no corn in there. And what our God is teaching us is this. Our God is telling us that this is a picture of what the prodigal son found in the world and what every single person that ever goes in the world will find. You will find it satisfies the appetite but offers no nourishment for the soul that will be lasting. It's all husk. Go ahead. And by the way, you folks that are in there, you know it far better than we do. And in your heart, you know it's the truth. You may have had some fun in the nightclub, but you never got any corn. You got some corn liquor, but sure you got any corn. There. No, sir. You had its husk. It looks good. It may even taste good. It may even sound good. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, like a mighty thunder down through the ages, the word of God still says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The world has nothing lasting to offer. Sin has nothing worthwhile in the end. Never does. It's all husk. The prodigal son found what everybody finds. Go ahead. Go your mad way toward sin. Choose your own way. Do your own will. Do your own thing. Follow the Hollywood crowd and follow the Broadway crowd and follow the hippie crowd and follow the in crowd and follow the rock music crowd and follow the disco crowd. But you're going to find out what everybody's found out since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There is no real lasting nourishment and lasting peace and joy in sin. It's all husk. That's all it is. The prodigal son found it was true. It may look good, yet bubble after bubble burst. Each bubble may be tinted with the celestial colors of the rainbow. Yet it leaves in the hand that crushes it the cold, damp drop of disappointment. It's just a husk. Ladies and gentlemen, a soul created for high and noble things, who is fit for the banquet table of God, cannot long be satisfied with that which is not real. You were not made for wrong, you were made for right. You were not made for evil, you were made for righteousness. You were not made for self, you were made for God. You, the highest creature that God has ever made. The one about whom the psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him just a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands." You are made in the image of God. Listen, you were made for God. You rescue mission men up here. When God made you, he made you for himself. You deaf folks back here, when God made you, he made you for himself. God made you in his own image. God did not make you to drink some liquor and poison down your stomach. God did not make you for a needle in your vein. God did not make you for a yip, yip, hooray, high time out in the world. God Almighty made you in his own image. He made you for himself. And yet the thing that caused man to have that empty spot in his soul was broken, was caused by the fact that man left God in the Garden of Eden. Now listen to me. Ecclesiastes says, God has put eternity in your heart. Now that thing that's missing is eternity. You can't put anything else in there and make it happy. It was leaving God that made man unhappy. Everything bad that's ever happened to man was made because man did not choose to follow God in the Garden of Eden. Now then, you're trying to fill that empty spot. We all have it. We're born with it. Try to fill that empty spot. Go ahead. Fill it with liquor. It won't lie. It won't work. Fill it with a bright light to the world. It won't work. Fill it with money. It won't work. Fill it with pleasure. It won't work. Oh, would God I could tell you about the marching army that comes inside my office week after week after week after week. They march and march and march and march in and out of my office. The same old story. Brother Hiles, I wish I had listened. Brother Hiles, I did not listen. Brother Hiles, I thought it would be fun. Brother Hiles, I found it did not work. Brother Hiles, can you help me get back? Brother Hiles, it's rock, ruin, and unhappy, and my life is gone, and my health is gone, and my happiness is gone, and my children are gone. Why? Because somehow we look at the husk in the hog pen that had been so glamorized by the heathen pagan world and Satan's emissaries. We do not have enough sense to know the happiness that is lasting and real. It's right here in this book. Right here in this book. This is not a sermon. This is not just filling up 30 minutes on Sunday morning because it's my job. There are folks in this room this morning with the hundreds eating on husk. But there's no corn there. It's empty. Some of you folks today are about to pick up the husk. High school's over now. You have your diploma. You don't have to keep the rules anymore. You're out of Hammond Baptist High School. You can say goodbye to the barber. There are no outward rules that make you get haircuts and no character on the inside to make you get them. Now you say, I'll look like the television stars. I'll look like Starsky and Hutch. I'll look like Marie and Denny. Marie and who? Donnie Oswald. I'll look like, after all, boy, I like the way they dance. I like the way that they pull a curtain back and those gals come out there without anything on from the hips down. I like that. Boy, I like that bright light. Like it. Like it. But there's not a person in that chorus line but what has an empty spot on the inside that they keep on trying to fill. That's why they try liquor and that grows old. They try dope and that grows old. And they try sex and that grows old. And they try money and that grows old. And they try houses and lands and that grows old. They try women and that grows old. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy the hungry soul and heart of man except his God. That's all. Nothing else. Oh, how foolish you are. How foolish you are. Some of you this morning, about to pick up the needle. It looks good. Get on a high. I want to go on a high. I got on a high years ago when I gave my life to the will of God. And I've not been down since. I'm talking about a high that'll last. Not the husk, the deceitful husk of a world. Others are viewing the husk of your own will. Your own will fill but won't nourish. Others are saying, it's my life. I live it like I want to. That's all husk. It's all husk. Others are saying, I've got to make some money. Listen, I am so sick of hearing about money, I don't know what to do. Brother, listen, I do not know what's wrong with God's people. I'm not talking about the drinking crowd. I'm talking about the spiritual crowd. I don't know what has gotten into us. The best people in this church are bowing down and worshiping the Almighty Dollar. Let me tell you something, brother. The big thing is God's will and God's plan. You don't have to have a lot of money. Good night, what's wrong with us? We spiritual people are eating the husk too, the husk of money. Silly. I see a young man reaching for the husk of materialism. He'll soon be filled with elegance. His library will soon be adorned with books. He will soon hear sounds that appeal to the ear, eat delicacies that stimulate the palate, see forms of beauty that please the eye. Yet he will not be nourished. Folks, listen a minute. Listen carefully. We have become so accustomed to associating God's blessings with materialism. I'm talking about spiritual people. I'm not preaching right now to the fellow who was in the nightclub last night. I'm speaking to the person that was studying his Sunday school lesson last night. Listen carefully. Folks come to my office for the dozens. To the house, I came to college. I haven't found a job. We had nothing but trouble. God must not have led us here. Brother, do you know that God's will often brings trouble? I preached the other day the graduation sermon for the Hammond City Baptist High School. And it said, Jacob came back to Bethel. I get this. And God blessed him there. Wait a minute. Jacob was 20 years in Haran, got rich. But it says God blessed him in Bethel. He got famous, but God blessed him in Bethel. Listen, when Jacob came back to Jabbok and to Bethel, and God blessed him there, he was poorer than he'd ever been. And the truth is, he got crippled there. Now, if it had been us, we'd got back to Bethel and got crippled and said, well, I guess God didn't want me here. He made me crippled. I don't have all the money I have down in Haran. It just, things haven't worked out. Brother, you better be concerned. If you have 1% of where you live that has to do with the dollar, that's materialistic and sinful, and it's husk. If 1% of where you live has to do with your job, it's husk. I'm not trying to scold you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to get up here and get back at you. I'm trying to help you before one day you've got a family wrecked and ruined because of materialism. Wake up. Good night, wake up. I think about that man in this church who left his job in distant another state, left his house. He wanted to get his children here under the ministry of this church. Dozens of folks have done this. But think about that one man. Left a good job. Came down here. The only job that man could find was washing trucks. And spent years washing trucks. Why? He humbled himself. Let his male ego and business ego be crucified. Why? For the sake of his children. That's why. I'm not saying it's the will of God for everybody to live in Hammond. But I'm saying it's not the will of God if you go anywhere because your business is there. The dollar has become an idol. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about spiritual people. I'm not trying to get back at you. I'm trying to shake you before you do something that's foolhardy. It's husk! It's always that. Listen, I've been preaching for 34 years now. And I've watched people grow to middle age, and there's something that happens to folks when they get middle age that is one of the most deadly things in this world. They come to the husk of security. But that bubble's going to burst too. What you'd better do is you'd better fall on your face before God Almighty. And you'd better say, all that matters to me is the will of God. It may be that in the will of God it'll be at Bethel without any money, but it's the will of God for my life. It may be I'll limp the rest of my life. It may be that's where I get crippled. But it's the will of God for me. Let me tell you something. You Howells Anderson College young men that come here, you say, I haven't had anything, but I had it rough ever since I got here. Well, why don't you look at Calvary and see how Jesus had it? It was the will of God for him. Jesus could have said, well, man alive, these nails in my hands must not be God's will. I hurt. Man alive, ever since I got to Calvary, I've had nothing but folks criticizing me. I got, look at the spear in my side. Is it not the will of God for me? I'm having it tough. You don't know whether you're having it tough or not. The Bible said it was Jesus' glory. Why? Because it was the will of God for his life. And so in the hog pen, the prodigal son, what had looked so beautiful became simply unsatisfying husk. So you folks this morning, you look at the husk of climate. I know folks say this, I can't wait till I retire so I can go back home. Tired of the winters. That's not funny. That's ridiculously worldly. It's worldly. I didn't say it's worldly to be tired of the winters. I am too. I don't mind November and December and January and February and March and April, but May is ridiculous. But you have no right to go where you want to go because the job doesn't keep you here anymore. You see how worldly that is? The only thing keeping you here now is your job. Your job. You're falling down at the God of money and say, Allah, 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 Allah. And as soon as I can't make any more of you here, I'll go somewhere where the winters are better. It might be God might want you at the North Pole. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? I see. You know what I think? You know the most dangerous time in a person's life is not when he's a teenager. Most dangerous time for a person being spiritual is when he's middle-aged and a good Christian. Middle-aged and a good Christian. If a person can make it past 45 and still be Christian, a good Christian, he might make it. If he looks in the mirror and sees what I see when I look in the mirror, this man alive is passing by. Now he's done passed by. Then when you get middle age, you get nasty and full of satire. Pharisaical. But it's all husk, ladies and gentlemen. It's all husk. There's a kind of a spiritual worldliness. I know people in this church, when you were 30, you were soul winners. You were 26 and 27 and 28, you had bus routes. But now you've gotten up here in this the middle years, and you've retired from God's Word. And when you do that, you lose your spiritual eyes with which to discern the will of God. I thought last night, as I finished marrying a couple, saw them walking out, there's corn inside that husk. And that fella, that family that brings their children, that little widow, out west, without a job, listen to me now, without a job, and three children, who came to the women's conference, spectacular, here at First Baptist Church Hammond. She heard the preaching and sat in the church, and she saw the schools, and got on her face and said, "Dear God, I want my children to turn out right." And that little widow, without a job, without food or anything else, left everything she had out west and moved to Hammond. And settled here, came to my office with no place to stay and no food to eat and no money to pay the bills with and no job or hopes of a job. And said, "Here I am. I have to see to it my children turn out right." There are a dozen of them just like that in this room this morning. Only hope they have for security is Matthew 6:33, and that beats your company. Only hope they have for security is Philippians 4:13 and 4:19. And that beats your union. I think about that little lady down here in the eastern part of this state. Has some little children. Has to rear by herself, I think, three. They come to Hammond so often and they throw themselves, actually come in my office and say, "Here I am, what you going to do with me?" Right now, little lady, little widow, trying to rear a family by herself. Somebody sold her a lemon of a car. No way to get around. Right this minute, I'm trying to get her car fixed. It's going to cost hundreds of dollars to get it fixed. She's paying on it. Can't sell it for half what she owes on it. No way to get around. Came here without a job. I don't feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for some of you $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 a year men. Wonder how you're going to make it in the future. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. You lose your faith, don't you? You lose your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, the clubs, the liquor, the dope, materialism, the pleasure, and all of it. It's all husk. There's no corn in there. And you'll find it to be true. I think about that man I saw out in the western part of our country who said, "Brother Hiles, I sat there in the service." And by the way, you can bristle if you want to this morning and say, "He's not going to run my life." Go ahead. Go ahead and bristle. And show me I can't do it at the risk of your own family. Ruin your kids to show the preacher. Boy, I'll show him. Ruin your kids. Do it. Won't you do it? Ruin them. Fellow on my shoulders out west put his arm around me and fell on my shoulders and tears dropped off of his cheeks down on my shoulders. And he said, "Brother Hiles, oh, Brother Hiles, Brother Hiles, Brother Hiles." He said, "I had a chance to double my salary. I checked to see if there's a good church in the town where I was going to go." "I'm sorry, brother. That's a pretty poor excuse for spirituality." And he said, "Brother Hiles, both of my children are in deep sin.
Brother House, he said, I'd dig ditches in Hammond. I'd collect garbage in Hammond.
If I hadn't have let money, my income, and my male professional ego drive me from the will of God for my life. I've got to close now, but I want to say there's something that's hus besides liquor. I got to preach it. Boy, liquor's hus! Amen! Amen! But you're strangely quiet now. You know why? Because there are hundreds of you men that are worshiping the dollar and worshiping your job, and you know it's the truth, and I'm talking about the best men in this church. And that's hus too. And then get silent.
Boy! Marijuana! Heroin! Dope addiction. That's us! Amen! 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 Amen!
Now. But the world is husk too. And buddy, that's husk right there. You gotta eat. Who said it? Who said you gotta eat? Show me the Bible. I can show you where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I can show you where it says he clothes the lilies of the field and feeds the sparrows. Huh?
Well, you got to take care of number one.
I know. But he's supposed to be number one. And others are supposed to be number two. And you're supposed to be down at the bottom of the list.
Well, you know, charity begins at home. Show me that. Show me that.
And you watch it. You watch it. One of these days, these little widows. I know a gal in this room right now has three children. She lives on $75 a week and sends them to a Christian school. And she's happier than some of you folks. Wonder if your stocks, when the price of gold is going to rise or lower. You watch it. One of these days, she's going to see her children make her proud. And I'm not talking about drunkards now. I'm talking about you folks that sit on deacon boards and in Sunday school classes. I'm talking about you folks that sit in the choirs and you folks that usher. And you folks that say amen. You folks that pay the bills. And I'm talking about the best folks in the church that I love the most. As sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, you're going to see that little widow's children rise above yours. Because you got swept away in this middle-age materialism. It's all husk. It's all husk.
I don't believe it.
You don't have to believe it, but you will believe it. And you can't rear your children and say, uh-oh, now practice is over. I'm going to do it again and try and do what I've learned. When they're grown, buddy. When they're grown, they're grown. Now listen to me. You say, Brother House, I just don't like kind of preaching. You don't get any choice. I mean, the rich folks get no choice here. See? Nobody gets any choice here. You have no choice to like it or not. Because as long as God has made me the spiritual custodian of this pulpit, as long as God has made me the pastor of the people in this church, I'm going to preach what I think is best for you. If you like it, lump it, I don't care, what I think is best for you. And it's time that the people in this church, I'm talking about the solid, tithing, Sunday school teaching people in this church, it's time we got spiritual. It's time we got Philippians 4:19 and believed it. Now listen to me. I had rather have not one dime in the bank in Matthew 6:33 than it worth $250,000 today and wonder how I'm going to make it when I get old. I've heard Dr. Rice say again and again, I said, you watch the Rice family. We don't have any money laid away. You watch the Rice family. Somebody said, yeah, you got any insurance? Dr. Rice said, no, I haven't got any insurance. I'm not preaching against the insurance now, but he don't have any. Well, I said, what's Miss Rice going to do if you die? He said, if I die, Miss Rice will be married in 6 months to a rich banker. You wait and see. Let me make an announcement this morning that most of you don't realize. Let me just say something that probably hasn't dawned on most of you good people now in a long, long time. There is a God. Now, that may sound simple to you. Most of you don't know it. And His care of you is not determined on the price of gold. I know because I saw it for a lifetime. I know because I've seen my mother get on her knees and pray for the next piece of bread when we didn't know where it was going to come from. I know it because I've seen my mother look at my bare feet when it was 15 degrees outside and say, "Dear God, I've got to have something to put on my boy's feet." I know it. I know it. I know it. All the rest, except the will of God and the plan of God for your life, is husk. There's no corn there.